here we go. It's 3 months until the election, and it looks like the election infection is working its way. Are we seeing the workings of the next plandemic? Let's talk about it today.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? It is Thursday, August the 15th, 2024. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome you to tonight's program. Listen, if it's your first time joining us, coming into the program, finding us, whatever the case may be, if you're able to comment, let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. Before we get started on tonight's program, I would love for you guys to do me a favor and smash that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification. All of these are not only going to be beneficial for you, but it's going to also help us push our material out there and push our programs out there to get eyes on it across YouTube and across Rumble and all these platforms as well. Listen, guys, if you've not downloaded our free app, this is the best way you can keep up with this. It's the best way that you're going to know that you're going to catch every headline. If you rely on social media outlets, I can't promise you that you are going to see every headline, because a lot of this stuff is suppressed, it's censored, it's shadow banned, and the list goes on. So you can avoid all that by simply going to your Play Store, Apple, Android, whatever your device, download it. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go. You're not going to miss a single podcast. You're not going to miss a single headline. No breaking news will you miss. It'll be right there at your fingertips. So a quick update. I'm sure some of you guys are wondering why we are not on the big picture tonight, because it is the second Thursday of the month. Well, the reason why is it was kind of like the perfect storm of events came up. I contacted Bishop Larry earlier this week because I had a head cold that ran through our whole family, and we barely could even get out yesterday's podcast. It was heavily edited because of all the sniffling and sneezing and coughing and all that mess. And thank God I am doing a lot better today. My voice is still a little more raspy than it normally is, but at least I don't have all that going on. So, and then he contacted me and he had some things come up. So we're going to reschedule. We're still going to be on his program. We might do that next week. I don't know for sure, but we'll keep you up to date on that. But tonight, we knew it was coming, guys. We knew it was coming. Now, everybody kind of had their chips in the table, or in the middle, if you would, on bird flu. Well, the bird flu is going to be the next pandemic. This is going to be the next scandemic, plandemic, election infection, whatever you want to call it. Everybody had it all figured out, squared away. It's going to be the bird flu. But have you noticed the bird flu is kind of like flew away? You don't hear nothing about it anymore. Where's it at? What happened to it? Is it spreading? Is it gone? Is more people dying of it? More people get infected of it? More cattle being infected, impacted, meat being recalled? What's going on with bird flu? Nothing. Silence. Just like the war in Ukraine. When it first started, it was every headline, every mainstream media outlet, 24/7 coverage. That's all you saw constantly. Casualties, losses, devastation, destruction, this, that. And then as time progressed, something else popped up. The war in the Middle East. Once October 7th took place, all eyes shifted to the Middle East, and it's like the war in Ukraine has completely just dissipated. Now, I'm not saying it has, but it's amazing, isn't it? How if they want you to focus on something, they know how to control the media outlets and center your focus on something that they want you to see as the main attraction. Well, we've got it. Of all things that you could think of, is this it? Is this the new coming pandemic? Now, I'm talking about the World Health Organization who just came out and declared, officially declared, that mpox, formerly known as monkeypox, but that's not, you know, that's not politically correct term to use, and it could be offensive, so we're going to call it mpox. The World Health Organization has declared mpox a public health emergency. Why? Because a newer strain is spreading across Africa. And not only is it in Africa now, but now it has even reached out further than Africa. But before we talk about that, let's get you up to date with this.
Monkeypox, a global public health emergency, as a new the World Health Organization tonight is declaring mpox, formerly known as monkeypox, a global public health emergency, as a new form of the virus is now rapidly spreading across Africa. Cases have been detected in more than a dozen countries, most of them in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, with more than 14,000 cases there, 524 deaths this year alone. Here at home, the CDC is urging doctors and the public to be alert for signs of the virus, including fever, muscle aches, swollen lymph nodes. Dr. Ashkay Sayal is joining us now. Doctor, how big of a threat is this in terms of a global perspective, and what does this global health emergency declaration really do from a practical standpoint?
Hey, Tom. So this is actually the second time in 3 years the WHO has declared a public health emergency over mpox. And what we're seeing now is, yes, the cases are largely in Africa, specifically in the DRC, the Democratic Republic of Congo. But the reason they're calling this out now, Tom, is that it's actually leaking out into neighboring countries. And, Tom, this is a different strain than the mpox outbreak we saw a few years ago.
Okay, time out. So did you catch that? It's leaking out. It's expanding beyond the DRC. It's going beyond Africa now, and I'm going to show you there's been a new case that's just been discovered, so it's spreading. And number two, this is a different strain, a more lethal strain. Again, this has got all the makings of what they have been, quote-unquote, warning us of and telling us to prepare for. Okay, keep that in mind. I'm telling you, in the next few weeks, it's going to get very interesting.
Including here in the U.S., this one has a fatality rate about 15 to 30 times higher. It's significantly more deadly than the other ones.
Fatality rate of 15 to 30% higher. You see, I'm telling you, the fear is just being pumped up to a whole other level. The fear of this thing. It's going to be, I'm telling you, they're going to hammer this in. If you better not even be sick of hearing about this yet, because you ain't seen nothing yet. I have a feeling this is going to take front row center of every mainstream media outlet, everything. We're going to hear more and more and more of this.
And see, the WHO is acting quickly here, and the PHEIC, the public health emergency, really calls for nations to start sharing resources, vaccines, treatments, research.
Oh, there it is.
Can be really, really useful for those poorer countries. And you can see here a statement, Tom, we just got in the last hour from HHS, saying that while the CDC, yes, saying the public should be alert right now, the threat is very low here in the United States, but people should nonetheless be on the lookout for this thing, for this virus, and to stay alert for those symptoms that you mentioned earlier there, Tom.
Hey, doctor, as we were talking about the symptoms, I thought, are we missing one? In other words, I thought that one of the symptoms with monkeypox anyway was kind of a severe blistering type of thing.
Yeah, it was that rash bullet on there you can see in the bottom right. It's very typical of mpox. When you see it, you can't really miss it. But those other symptoms you mentioned, fever, chills, exhaustion, odds are if you're having those things, it's probably something else, including the flu or maybe even COVID. But the rash really is the hallmark symptom, Tom, that blistering rash you mentioned, yes.
Thanks for watching. Stay up.
All right, this is this just came over the wire today. Sweden is now reporting the first case of this deadly mpox strain outside of Africa. The country's public health agency has confirmed that it was the same strain of the virus that has surged in the DRC since September of 2023. This is called the clade 1B subclade. According to the report, the country's public health agency confirmed to AFP that it was the same strain of the virus that has surged in the DRC again since last year. A person who sought care in Stockholm has been diagnosed with mpox caused by the clade 1 variant. It is the first case caused by clade 1 to be diagnosed outside of the African continent. The report went on to say the person was infected during a visit to the part of Africa where there is a major outbreak of this particular strain. The patient has received care, and the agency added that Sweden has a preparedness to diagnose, isolate, and treat people with Mpox safely. So again, we know now that this is spreading outside of Africa. Now, who knows how many people have already been infected and taken this by flight and spread it, coming out of the country, going other places. Again, if you actually believe that we're not going to see a case of this pop up in the United States, you're naive. We know it's going to happen, guys. It's only a matter of time. According to the reports, the head of the committee that actually determined that a public health emergency of international concern was warranted says that this new strain is an emergency for the entire globe. Let me say that again. The head of the committee who determined that this warranted a public health emergency of international concern says that this new strain is an emergency for the entire planet. Let me just read this quote from the committee chair professor. Quote, "The current upsurge of Mpox in parts of Africa, along with the spread of a new sexually transmissible strain of the monkeypox virus, is an emergency not only for Africa, but for the entire globe. Mpox originated in Africa, was neglected there, and later caused a global outbreak in 2022. It is time to act decisively to prevent history from repeating itself." So again, there's been over 100 cases that has been confirmed in the neighboring countries of Burundi, Kenya, Rwanda, and Uganda. In the past month, over 100 laboratory confirmed cases of this strain, of this virus, has spread to, again, neighboring countries. Experts believe the true number of cases to be higher, as a large proportion of clinically compatible cases have not even been tested. Now, the World Health Organization director has openly admitted that, quote, "the potential for further spread within Africa and beyond is very," and I quote, "worrying." He went on to say that the detention and rapid spread of a new clade of Mpox in eastern DRC, its detection in neighboring countries that had not previously reported Mpox, and the potential for further spread within Africa and beyond is very worrying. So we know that according to the World Health Organization, the CDC, and the quote-unquote experts and virologists and all them, this particular strain has a much higher fatality rate. Also, it appears it is much easier to spread than the strain that quickly circulated across the planet 2 years ago in 2022. Let me read this. Quote, "During the global outbreak of Mpox in 2022, gay and bisexual men made up the vast majority of cases." "And the virus was mostly spread through close contact, including, but with this outbreak in Congo, the majority of cases and deaths are in children." Let me say that again. The majority of cases and deaths in this particular new strain that is broke out in DRC is in children. Again, y'all see the fear factor on this thing? The reasons for the difference aren't entirely clear. It could be because kids are more susceptible to it. One infectious disease expert at Emory University says social factors like overcrowding and exposure to parents who caught the disease could likely be at play as well. Now, let's put some facts out here. This new strain, though it can spread by the traditional sexual contact, it is now being reported that it can spread without any sexual contact at all. Again, this heightens up the fear factor of this particular strain. Quote, "It began spreading through sexual transmission via the local SEX work industry, according to the researchers. However, they said the new virus has also spread within households between mothers and their children, and there have been cases of person-to-person spread outside of households and without any sexual contact." And again, according to the experts, that this is what makes this, quote, "incredibly worrying." And why is that? Because previously you were told that as long as you avoid sexual contact or any kind of activity like this, you could be safe from this. But now this is apparently no longer the case. According to one expert, this new strain is, quote, undoubtedly the most dangerous of all the known strains. The new virus is undoubtedly the most dangerous of all known strains of Mpox. This is according to John Claude Udamuka, a lecturer at the University of Rwanda, said in a press briefing on June the 25th. He said the virus has caused miscarriages and blindness. Now, it appears to me that they're not taking any chances with this. In fact, they're already geared up and ready to go. Let me show you this article. Mpox vaccine maker is ready to produce 10 million doses. Danish drug maker Bavarian Nordic just announced today that it was ready to produce up to 10 million doses of its vaccine targeting Mpox by 2025 after the World Health Organization declared a surge in the virus in Africa a global public health emergency. Now remember, this is how COVID started out. It started out as a global public health emergency, but then it continued to grow and it increased and it spread, and then it became more and greater than a global public health emergency. Alarmed by a rise in cases in the DRC and the spread of Mpox in nearby countries, World Health Organization experts said Wednesday that the situation constitutes a public health emergency of international concern. Well, this Danish drug maker says that they have, quote, an additional manufacturing capacity of 2 million doses for 2024 and a total of 10 million doses by next year. The company is, quote, awaiting orders for the countries concerned before starting manufacturing. And, of course, they already have 500,000 doses in stock and ready to go. Now, I found this interesting. According to the Daily Mail, the Canadian government just recently warned its citizens and its country to prepare for new virus far worse than COVID. Guys, you can't make this stuff up. Like, what do they know that we don't know? The Canadian government has issued advice warning citizens to prepare for a hypothetical new virus. Are you kidding me? Look, it's right there. Let me highlight this for you guys looking at the visual of this. Again, they're warning of a hypothetical new virus that could lead to, look at this, food and fuel disruptions. I didn't make that up. The Center for Occupational Health and Safety rolled out a second edition of their flu and infectious disease outbreaks business continuity plan handbook. The guide provides information for employers on what to prepare for in the face of another pandemic. In the new edition released in June, they focus on a hypothetical virus that they warn could, quote, trigger further disruption than COVID did. It states that based on trends from past pandemic flu, there may be a higher average number of illness and deaths in age groups different than what we typically see during annual flu seasons. The guide went on further to warn employers must be ready for a scenario like a disease outbreak for a pandemic which forces people to stay home. Hello, comply, stay home. Mandatory. And speaking of, did you guys see this report where a Minnesota grandmother who was jailed for defying Wall's COVID lockdown orders? So this back when the pandemic was at its peak and they were locking everybody down and shutting down businesses and people were defying orders and they were arrested and they were locked up and they were fined. One Minnesota woman was jailed. And at that time, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, who ordered these lockdown orders, and she was jailed for defying it. Now look what she said, quote, you do not want tyranny at this level.
Because in Minnesota, they had some pretty draconian lockdown orders, and they had some pretty draconian penalties if you ran afoul and you didn't stay home or do whatever. And so this, the one story in particular was really, I mean, this is, there's so many crazy stories that happened from that time. This woman, Lisa Hansen, she was a small business owner. She owned a wine and coffee bistro. She's a mother of eight. She's going to have 18 grandchildren very soon. The only other thing, the only other time she's ever been in trouble with the law was when she got a speeding ticket as a teenager. She owned her business for over 30 years. She and her husband both owned it together for more than 30 years. And her business, called the Interchange Wine and Coffee Bistro in Albert Lea, it was about 90 miles south of Minnesota, had been open for almost about a decade. And she had owned different businesses, always apparently in the service industry. Well, then they got the shutdown orders, right? So they got the shutdown orders, and her bistro initially complied with the shutdown order that March. But then, months following that, Walls never fully reopened. And there were businesses, remember, liquor stores were deemed to be essential. Churches were not essential. That was even in Texas. And bars, restaurants, gyms, dance studios, salons, all of the, those were considered non-essential. Strip clubs were considered essential. Big box stores were considered essential in Minnesota. Liquor stores were considered essential in Minnesota. But if you wanted to go to a restaurant, if you wanted to go to the gym, if you wanted to get your hair cut, that was non-essential. And she was trying to make a living, her and her husband. They had bills to pay. It was really cute to hear Joe Biden talk about rent moratoriums and not having to pay rent and putting a moratorium on that, putting a pause on it. But the problem is that for business owners, they still had their bills to pay. And the people that owned the buildings where people were leasing, they still had bills to pay. And so Hansen was watching this grandmother, a lot of these businesses that have been open for decades, have to close down before they ever reopened. And she said he always allowed the big box stores, et cetera, to stay open. So she decided, and this is, gosh, almost a full year even, because this was going up between, this was all going up into even into January 2021. So she decided to reopen her business, and she defied his shutdown order for bars and restaurants six times between December 2020 and January 2021. In December of 21, this is a full year after all of this first kicked into gear, correct? Full year. She was convicted on misdemeanor charges, and she got the maximum sentence of 90 days and a $1,000 fine. She ended up serving two-thirds of her sentence, 60 days. She was in jail for 2 months.
The now Democrat vice presidential candidate essentially shut down and destroyed her small business. And she is now warning Americans, you don't want this tyranny at this level. You do not want this level of tyranny. She went on to say that, quote, let me highlight this. He shut down a lot of the mom and pop shops, those folks that were just trying to make a living and provide a great product and great service. Quote, in contrast, he allowed big box stores to stay open. Really incredible, an incredible use of tyranny against the people. She went on to say, quote, this is the story that America needs to hear, that Tim Walz is not some cuddly, joyful coach like all the things that the mainstream media are calling him. She went on to say, this is not who this man is. This man would like to take your rights away. He will take your rights away because what happened to me could have happened to anybody. What happened to me will happen to you. Very interesting. Now, could you imagine? Can I present you a nightmare hypothesis? Imagine if this mpox becomes the next pandemic. It comes over here. Then all of a sudden, just like with COVID, we need to distance ourselves. We need to put mask mandates. Then they move it a bit further. Then they move it a bit further. And then they move it a bit further. And then all of a sudden, now we have lockdowns again and shutdowns again. And here's the nightmare. That's not the full nightmare scenario here. Not only do you have that going on, but what if, oh Lord, what if Kamala Harris and Tim Walz is the next administration? Let's just say they win the election and they're in power when this comes. Could you imagine that scenario? This is what this woman is warning us about. So now the Canadian government is warning their citizens. They're warning their citizens. They're warning their workplaces, the employers, the physicians, the facilities, everywhere. They even said, quote, if there is another pandemic, how many people will be off work? It is impossible to determine with certainty. Quote, estimates vary because no one will know for sure how ill the new virus will make people, how fast will it spread, or how many people will not go to work until it happens. A future pandemic will come in two or three waves, about 3 to 9 months separating each outbreak. Now, how do they know this? Let me highlight that. Again, the Canadian government says, they didn't say it could, they said a future pandemic will come in two or three waves, about 3 to 9 months separating each outbreak. Somebody needs to write that down and remember that, because I would not be surprised if that's exactly what happens. The hypothetical virus could also last in three cycles for as much as 2 years. This is according to this report, guys, that's being given to Canadians. They're telling their people that they should brace for disruptions like reduced labor, supply chain issues, and shifts in consumer demand. Oh, that's all we need, isn't it? Among these disruptions include telecommunications, banking, water, gasoline, medicine, and food. Wow. Of course, this comes after Fauci recommends that people needs to begin wearing masks again due to the rise of COVID cases. Wow, guys, here we go. We're back with this again. The number of infections is increasing as part of another summer surge. Listen, you guys thought you were not going to hear these words anymore. You thought this nightmare was over. No, I believe it's resurfacing and it's just repackaged. The 83-year-old told people, he highlighted to seniors that, quote, you should be wearing a mask in crowded places. He also revealed that he had contracted COVID about 2 weeks ago. It was his third infection. Now, remember, guys, this guy has been vaccinated to the max, boosted at least 6 times. And yet he's got COVID 3 times. But yet, hey, you better go out there and you better get every shot. You better get every booster. You better get vaxxed to the max. The World Health Organization officials warned that if the virus continues to spread, oh, and it will, it could lead to, quote, new mutations and severe infections that evade vaccine protection and therapeutics. Evade vaccine protections? Fauci, the poster child of this stuff, who's been vaxxed to the max and double and quadruple boosted and who knows, has already gotten it 3 times. And you're warning us that the new mutations may evade vaccine protection? This is laughable, friend. Laughable. All right, let's go to the scriptures. I'm done with talking about that because we knew it was coming, guys. And they're going to pump the fear factor on this thing to the max. But I want to let's bring us back to level-headedness here to the scriptures. We got to go back to the scriptures here, okay? Remember, I've told you, Jesus warned us in Matthew 24, when they asked him, what will be the signs of your coming and the end of the age? One of the signs that he said to look for, he said, there will be famines and pestilences, plural tense. And I always like to remind our audience that word in the Greek actually means a disease or a virus or a plague. It's really, if you want to be technical, it's literally the word pestilence means a plague that leads unto death. Okay? Number one. Number two, Jesus used the plural tense of it. He didn't say a singular, there'd be a pestilence to look for. He said there'd be more than one. There'd be pestilences. Okay? And remember, the original Greek for this means a plague leading unto death. So it's a severe thing. This, we're not talking about something that only wipes out, you know, a very, very small percentage of people. This, when he's talking about this, he's talking about something like the bubonic plague. He's talking about something that, you know, has the potential to wipe out a lot of people here. Okay, and number three, the third thing I really want to stress here is he never said what would the source of these pestilences be. Let me say that again, because that's important. He never told the disciples, he never told us, he never elaborated in the word that the source of these pestilences would come from livestock. He didn't say that. He didn't say they'd come from the fowl of the earth. He didn't say they'd come from the fish of the earth. He didn't say they'd come from the dirt or from the soil. There's nowhere in here that there's a reference or a point of reference to the source of these pestilences. So, guys, these can very well be, these pestilences that Jesus is talking about could be created in a laboratory somewhere. They could be manufactured and man-made. We can't write that off and say, well, no, that's not what Jesus said. No. You can absolutely, because again, the fact that he said there is pestilences that are coming just lets us know, hey, they're coming. So from a biblical perspective, guys, this should not catch us off guard, okay? As far as, if we're solely going to prophetic prophecy, eschatology, scripture, warnings, this should not catch you off guard. Now, on the other hand, you could get political with this, you know, the nefarious side to this, whatever. Again, you shouldn't be caught off guard by that either, because they have been warning us about this. These talking heads, these elites, they've all been telling us it's not a matter of if, but when. And you've heard it from us multiple times on multiple programs. All right, now I'm going to shift gears. I'm going to talk about one other subject. I want to talk about real briefly, I might spend about 15 minutes on this. This was an interesting article by Michael Snyder. I'm going to pull this up here. Here's the headline. Quote, how many warnings is California going to get before the big one finally strikes? Do I got anybody from the West Coast in the house tonight? In the chat, wherever you may be watching or listening from, this is something you may want to pay attention to. And I know your eyes are glazing over when you hear the phrase, the big one's coming, your eyes glaze over, you start yawning, you start falling asleep, because you've heard this for years and years and decades and decades. I hear it. Guys, we hear it from people from the West Coast, people from California. They've heard this over and over and over again. But scientists, they keep sounding the alarm that the big one is way overdue. But most people living in California don't even seem to care. And every now and then you'll hear a reminder and see a reminder that those that live in this location need to be paying attention. In fact, have you guys have noticed there has been there's been more larger quakes more frequently? 2 weeks ago, a magnitude 4.9 earthquake struck Southern California, but then it was quickly forgotten.
We're learning of a magnitude 4.7 magnitude quake. It has just struck near Barstow right around 1 o'clock. The trembles could be felt all the way here in the L.A. region, including Riverside and Reseda.
And then a week later, a magnitude 5.2 earthquake struck Southern California.
Probably felt it. It was one of the strongest earthquakes in a long time, and it hit last night near Bakersfield.
Then it turns out it may have been on a fault that experts didn't even know about. In fact, the aftershocks are still happening. We had another one just minutes ago.
And after last night's quake, the data suggests that they may have just discovered a new one. Tuesday's magnitude 5.2 earthquake centered about 15 miles southwest of Lamont, California, in Kern County, was big enough that people reported shaking in Santa Clarita, downtown Los Angeles, Santa Monica, Long Beach, and beyond.
I felt something shake, but I was like, it must just be the car.
So I'm living in West LA. It's just a little bit shaking.
I'm in Pasadena. I was thinking about whether I need to run, but I feel like it's not that strong.
The Temblor caused this large boulder to fall onto the freeway in Lebec. It triggered the state's early warning system, sending an alert on many people's phones seconds before they felt the shaking.
As of now, no one has been able to put their finger on a fault. And that means there's something new to learn here.
You heard right. We may have discovered a new fault here. Robert DeGroot with USGS says there are hundreds of known fault lines in the region, giving experts a good idea of where earthquakes are likely to happen. But that doesn't mean there aren't surprises.
So new discoveries are happening all the time.
Seismologist Dr. Lucy Jones says it's not unusual.
Most small earthquakes at this point are actually not on our big named faults.
The epicenter of Tuesday's quake was miles from the White Wolf fault line, where a deadly quake occurred in 1952.
It's very near where we had a magnitude 7.5 in 1952. However, it does not appear to be on the same fault as that earthquake. That was the White Wolf fault, which dips in a different direction, and it doesn't look like this earthquake was associated with any known fault.
DeGroot says scientists will continue to collect and study data.
There's still things that we need to understand about the event itself, where it was located, the nature of the ground that it was in, all of these different features, that it might be connected to other fault systems.
The bigger the earthquake is, the more likely it is that you can actually see the fault that will break all the way up to the surface. This earthquake is small enough that it's unlikely that it's producing any sort of surface rupture, and therefore we may never know exactly which fault it was on.
But then it was quickly forgotten, and then another magnitude 4.4 earthquake has struck California.
Welcome back. We are following breaking news. An earthquake has just rattled Southern California.
The quake was centered just northeast of downtown Los Angeles. NBC News correspondent Dana Griffin joins us now from California. Dana, what else do we know at this moment? Any reports of damage or injuries?
Not that we know of, but it was a pretty good one that a lot of people felt. Again, 4.4 magnitude quake. We were sitting here in the Los Angeles Bureau. We could feel the rumble. A lot of people stood up. It almost felt like, you know, many were wondering, is this what we thought it was? Because it was so quick. Usually they last a little bit longer, but you felt the rumble. You could see the lights in our news bureau shake, and then everything stopped. We are noticing that some schools started sending kids out of their classrooms onto a large field just in case, because this could have just been one of many to come. You've got local fire departments now out checking local freeways and checking some of those buildings. A lot of them have already been shored up just to reinforce the protection, because it's been known for a while that California has been overdue for the big one, so they call, like the mega quakes, which could be some 8 to 9 magnitude. We have not experienced something like that in so long. So I think when it comes to damage, no major damage reported so far, and I think it's just more rattled nerves at this point.
And this last one was it was felt as far away as San Diego.
Southern California is still reeling from a 4.4 magnitude earthquake. It hit Los Angeles yesterday afternoon. The U.S. Geological Survey says the epicenter was about 6 miles northeast of LA's City Hall. People could feel the quake all the way to San Diego. Some plumbing broke, but no injuries have been reported.
And the magnitude 5.2 earthquake that struck in Southern California was quickly followed up by 277 aftershocks. And guys, what's mind-boggling is this is all normal to them. You guys living in California, this is normal to you. I would be freaking out right now, because that's not normal for us in Georgia, in the state of Georgia anyway. Even when I lived up further north in Indiana, Kentucky, if we had that, I'd really be freaking out, and I'd be getting out of Dodge real quick, because you're living out there on the New Madrid fault line. But again, guys, what is happening out there? Is this a prelude? Is these rumblings of something bigger? And something else interesting that I thought it was interesting, Snyder points out, when the Earth revolves around the sun, it becomes very active and we tend to experience more seismic activity. And the fact that we are in a solar maximum, solar activity is likely to remain at very high levels for the next couple of years. quote, we are in a period known as a solar maximum in an 11-year cycle of the sun when increased solar activity erupts. Every 11 years or so, the sun's magnetic field flips completely when the sun's north and south poles switching places, according to the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. Solar maximum happens in the middle of the cycle. Space weather activity and things like this are more likely to happen through the remainder of 2024 through 2025 and even into 2026. And one paleo seismologist, in fact, it was multiple paleo seismologists, expect big ones or mega quakes to occur in California every 150 to 200 years. One of them said, quote, we are overdue. Team of scientists have been trying to improve on that chillingly vague forecast and try to keep people in the know before it actually strikes. He went on to say that, quote, the Northridge earthquake in 1994, some of you might remember that, was not the big one. In fact, it wasn't even close. When the big one finally arrives, it is going to cause a monumental amount of damage. One team of scientists that have studied this has concluded that the, quote, big one could literally plunge large parts of California into the sea almost instantly. Did you know that there was prophets in their day that they warned, way before seismologists warned about this, and they had all the instruments come out and things that to forecast this, they saw in visions and dreams where the Lord had revealed to them warnings to California that, that there would be earthquakes that would strike that would be so huge that portions of California would fall into the ocean. A Cal State Fullerton professor says that when the big one finally does strike, land on the western side of a major fault line could suddenly drop by up to 3 feet, and if this happens, it would allow water from the Pacific Ocean to come flooding in. Now, we know that the last known major earthquake that occurred on the San Andreas fault line was in 1857. Seismologists estimate the 800-mile-long San Andreas, which runs most of the length of the state, should see a large quake roughly every 150 years. Now, this comes as Japan. Look at this headline, guys. Japan is bracing for a once-in-a-century earthquake. Now, this comes as Western Japan experienced an earthquake last week, and meteorologists gathered and issued a temporary tsunami advisory from it, and a special committee warned that another major earthquake could strike in the coming weeks. Let me say that again. Another major earthquake in Japan could strike in the coming weeks. The first time in its history, this committee has issued this type of nationwide advisory.
A first-of-its-kind warning across Japan Thursday for a long-feared megaquake following a powerful 7.1 magnitude earthquake that rocked the country's southern coast. Reverberations felt for miles, caught on cameras in offices along the coast and at an airport.
Please evacuate right now.
Tsunami warnings issued following the quake, urging some residents to leave the seaside, but so far, injuries and damage have been minimal. Researchers have long warned of a megaquake, 8 or 9 magnitude, potentially even more damaging than the 9.1 that set off a tsunami in 2011 and ravaged Japan's northeast coast. The disaster, one of the worst in this century, killing more than 18,000 people, leaving parts of the country in ruin, including a nuclear disaster at Fukushima that rattled the world.
There was a magnitude 7.3 earthquake that happened 2 days before that earthquake. And about 5% of the time, we see that there is an earthquake called foreshock that precedes a larger event.
Japan sits on the circumpacific belt known as the Ring of Fire, where tectonic plates meet, leading to lots of quakes and volcanic activity. The U.S.'s Pacific coast also on the Ring of Fire. Southern California just getting hit with a 5.2 magnitude quake Wednesday. Experts believe we should be ready for one of those mega quakes too.
There's a lot of effort being put into preparing for such an event in terms of both the seismic hazard, the ground shaking, and the tsunamis.
As a result of this, high-speed trains slowed down as a precaution, causing travel delays, and the country's prime minister even canceled his overseas trips. Now, again, the worst, and you could consider this a mega quake that struck Japan, was the 9.1 quake in 2011 that triggered a major tsunami and nuclear disaster, and 20,000 people were killed. The Nankai Trough, which is a 700-kilometer long or 435-mile subduction zone, is referred to when tectonic plates slip beneath each other. Most of the world's earthquakes and tsunamis are caused by the movements of tectonic plates, and the most powerful often occur in subduction zones. In this case, the tectonic plate under the Philippine Sea is slowly slipping beneath the continental plate where Japan is located, moving several centimeters each year, according to a new report in 2013. At this particular location in Japan, severe earthquakes have been recorded every 1 to 200 years. This is according to the committee. The last such quakes took place in 1944 and 1946, both measuring an 8.1 in magnitude. And both of these devastated Japan with at least 2,500 total deaths and thousands more injured, as well as tens of thousands of homes destroyed. By all their calculations, the Japanese government has now come out and warned that there is a 70 to 80% chance that Japan will be rocked by another earthquake such as this within the next 30 years. And they expect it to be between a magnitude 8 and 9. And again, guys, this is interesting because when we go back to Matthew 24, right in the same passage of Matthew 24, 7, he said there will be nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, which we just covered, and earthquakes in various places. And then in Luke's gospel, he went as far as to say there will be great earthquakes in various places. So again, this is not just earthquakes. This is great earthquakes. Again, in Greek, it's megos. So the word of God tells us, my friend, that what we're being warned about to prepare about has all been foretold and warned about in prophecy. Jesus told us these things. These things would come as sorrows. These are the beginning of sorrows. In the Greek, it means travail and birth pangs. The birth pangs of the Messiah will intensify and increase before we actually enter into the tribulation period, again, that we read about in the book of Daniel and in the book of Revelation. So I know it's a lot. It's a lot to inform yourself with. A lot of information coming tonight. Again, don't forget to subscribe, guys. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button. Share this podcast. You guys listen by Apple or by Spotify. Please do a favor and give us a good review. Get the word out there. Again, get our app, guys. Download it today. This is going to keep you up to date with all of our material. Apple, Android, it's absolutely free. You can pick it up at your convenience. If you're watching and you're watching by Rumble, watching by YouTube, whatever the visual platforms, there's a description in the description of this video. There's a link that says download our free app. Just click on that link and you can get yours today. And guys, of course, if this ministry blesses you and informs you, it encourages you, equips you week after week, we always want to give you the opportunity to sow back. And you can do that in two different ways. You can give electronically, either through the main website right there on your screen, endtimeheadlines.org or .com, or you can go to the app, go to the bottom where it says donate, click there, or you can give by check or money order. And you can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So listen, we love you guys. We appreciate you. Thank you for taking the time out on this Thursday night to be a part of the broadcast. And we're going to sign off for tonight. And we plan on being back here tomorrow night to close out this week of podcasting, Friday night, August 16th. Lord willing, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, same time, same place, same channel. Until then, I pray the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.